What's up, sports fans? Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends, the show for the fly-by-night sports fans. I'm King Kaz. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, the one, the great Jay Veezy.
You had to think about it that time, huh?
I did, man. My brain is all messed up from hiking and all the food I'm trying to eat from this experiment of how swole can I get.
It's made you forget who I was for a second.
My brain has only been filled with two things for the past couple weeks. That's fantasy football, how much can I lift on this machine, and how much food do I need to intake so that I can lift more on this machine. So please, JVZ, give me other things to talk about.
All right, let's talk competitive gaming first. So we've been following this Rick Fox story, and so now it's moved into this whole fight has moved into lawsuit status. The Echo Fox partners, all the ones that are not Rick Fox, tried to get a temporary restraining order to get him kind of away from the team. Him being Rick Fox. Get him away from the team so he can't try to do anything else with the team. The argument was that, like, all the stuff he was doing with trying to publicly engineer the sale of the team's League of Legends spot, all of that was kind of done without their consent. And also blaming him because, you know, him taking all of his complaints public, all of that, they claim that resulted in a drop of the value of the franchise from, you know, $150 million to $30 million. So this kind of happened behind closed doors, and so this is kind of where this whole fight is turning ugly. At this point, it's, you know, like, maybe some people that were there supporting him, now they're feeling, they might be supportive of his cause, but also not happy with way he's gone about it legally. Or
that tends to be the thing once people start losing money, right? It's like everybody's gung ho for the righteous thing until they start losing dollar value, right? Yeah. Then it turns into like, well, hold on, let's stop and think about this because I'm losing money.
Yeah, and I think there's been offers by the team, and he's I think he's rejected some of them. He's reportedly tried to poach Echo Fox employees in order to help start a new venture. There's a lot of stuff going on. Rick Fox basically seems like he's on the way out, but he's still there. So while that happens, they're trying to kind of institute some sort of legal separation between the two entities.
One of the things I have always said on this show, and we kind of agree upon, is you want to control the narrative, right? Because that's in the end what makes you the good guy or the bad guy. And right now, Rick Fox has control of the narrative. So he looks like the good guy in a lot of these things. And it seems like what is happening is Echo Fox as an organization is trying to circle back around and control the narrative of what's happening so that in the end they don't seem bad, especially if they decide to part ways with Rick Fox, right? Because if they decide to oust him, then that makes them look even worse without doing things to demonize him, right? Like, if you don't do things to demonize Rick Fox, you just look like the bad guy with everything else that happened.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, especially since he's the guy with the name. His name is on the organization. He's the most popular figure within the organization, at least the most popular executive within the organization, the one with the most mainstream clout. And so just that on its own gives him a lot of power to control the narrative, because nobody really gives a shit about any of the other executives until one of them does something bad. So yeah, so he has a lot of power. They gotta, you know, that. So now this is their attempt to regain control of it. All of this is kind of, they were unsuccessful with this restraining order. But it's just a continuation of the same story, and just a demonstration of how nasty these ownership fights can get, whenever they happen. So I bring that up just because ESPN recently released the 30 for 30 podcast on Donald Sterling, and that whole fight with him and his ownership of the Los Angeles Clippers. We brought it up before as kind of a demonstration of, like, it was a more clear cut way for the NBA to step in and remove the team from Donald Sterling, because they could at least argue that there was that he was harming business, and they had, you know, specific rules within the NBA that allowed them to do that, but they still had to go through a big complicated legal process to actually get him to sell the team to Steve Ballmer. And so this podcast, I think there's like five roughly parts. 30 minute episodes.
About 50 minutes. Well, the first part's 35, 49 seconds
on the tapes where he was caught saying racist things. The second part focuses on just the history of Donald and Shelley Sterling. The third part,
investments and stuff like that.
Yeah. So the third, fourth, and fifth parts kind of focus on the aftermath and how it affected the players, how it affected Shelley Sterling and how Shelley Sterling was kind of the linchpin of everything that happened afterwards, and how, like, without her legal maneuvering, it actually would have been really, really difficult for the league to actually accomplish the sale without a really, really complicated legal battle. You know, it just goes to show, like, whenever there's an ownership fight, like, the league was able to come in and say, Donald Sterling, you are banned from all activities, but he still owned half of the team while his wife owned the other half. And so it took Shelley Sterling getting lawyers involved, getting Donald Sterling declared incompetent, or getting him declared that he had dementia, so that his control of the family trust could be taken away. And then after doing that, then she was able to do this sale to Steve Ballmer for a record $2 billion. And so, like, without that legal maneuvering, Donald Sterling would still be in control of the LA Clippers. With Donald Sterling still in control of the LA Clippers, I don't think you have the Clippers today with, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you know, sitting in pole position for a run at the NBA title this year. So, you know, that sale from 5 years ago has huge ripple effects on the NBA today. And yet it almost never happened, or they could still be in the middle of a legal fight right now. If not for all of that, you know, that backstage legal maneuvering. So it was a complicated fight for them, for Riot and Rick Fox and Echo Fox and the LCS. It's proving to be a complicated thing too. Riot can say, okay, Echo Fox, you're no longer allowed in the LCS, but you know, there's still issues with the ownership of the team that Riot can't solve. All they can do is sell their spot away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is all, like, really, I'm really interested in this 30 for 30 and to kind of see what comes out of it. And I think, like you said, it does have an echo into this situation with league. And an Echo Fox in a sense, but it definitely is something that's interesting to see how these ownership things happen and how they go. So I mean, I don't know.
Listen to it. It's 4 hours. so if you got 4 hours, you
if
got a
you
long
can
drive
watch a Marvel movie, you can listen to this. All right, don't give me that shit.
Yeah, it's a good it's interesting all the way through, so give it a listen, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Let's take a peek through the rest of the roundup. We got Stephen Curry trying to help bring back the Howard University golf program by donating money.
Seven-figure donation over the next 6 years to rebuild the golf program. This was a Division II championship winning golf program that was shut down in the 1970s over lack of revenue. So he's hoping to bring it back.
I kind of like started going through this, I didn't pay attention to the years. I thought it was a program that was scuttled more recently.
It was a long time ago, and Howard University, if you're not aware, is a historically black college and university. So it kind of speaks to how golf is kind of traditionally has been a white man's game. Not just
ultra
a white man's game, but
gentlemen, ultra white,
ultra white.
That's
ultra
the word
rich.
You're grasping for.
But it's also like golf being a game where like people can casually play and network. It's kind of kept it in this, you know, ultra rich, ultra elite, ultra white type of game. Only three of the 250 active PGA Tour golfers are black. I mean, the most famous one obviously being the most famous golfer in the sport. But outside of that, like, can you name another one? And only 6% are African American, Latino, or Native American. So
I want to say Vijay Singh, but I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. You see an Asian player come through every so often, but most of the players are white, and so Stephen Curry is hoping to change that. You know, to go to a school that is very likely to put out black athletes, rebuild their golf program, and we've talked before about how into golf Steph Curry is. He's always playing at celebrity tournaments. He put together a mini golf show for ABC, which I watched a couple episodes. It's actually pretty good, but I think it gets a little stale after a while, but it's worth checking out if you have Hulu. He's super interested in golf. He's super interested in kind of the opportunities that playing golf brings to people. So I think he's, you know, this is him making an investment in not only the sports community, but the black community as well.
Even to a certain degree, like you said, it is giving to the sports community in ways that he may not know yet. You know what I mean? Like this could be a program that somebody comes into that maybe they weren't going to go that far in golf, and they come and play for this program, and it allows them that push. This has far reaching things. And I think that's really interesting to kind of be into something so much so that you're willing to look at the long-term ramifications of a choice like this. And I think he is. I think Stephen Curry is smart enough to look at the long-term of something like this and what that can mean. And I think that is what drives change. And that's what drives sports, is when somebody goes, I really like this, right? He himself is a great basketball player, has taken that kind of same anatomy into his basketball thing. And like you said, he's really into golf. You could just be really into golf and want to play it all the time, but he's into it to the point where he's like, you know what? golf has a lot of opportunity for other people that I don't think people are looking at. I want to do something about that.
Yeah. And I think that's, yeah, it's good for the sport in general too, because as the demographics of America change, you know, it's not a good thing to have your primary demographic be old white men, and which is kind of a, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with old white men, but just because that's a shrinking demographic. And if that's your only primary demographic, then, and you don't have any outreach towards younger minorities, then there's not a lot of potential for growth. And we kind of see that with the average age of golf fans kind of creeping upwards and upwards every single year. So this is a good way to help reach some of that younger demographic, say, hey, this is another thing you can do. This is another game you can play, another way to make money, another thing you can earn a scholarship for, just creating opportunity all around, and, you know, helping ensure that the future of the sport, or that the sport has a lifeline in the future.
Yeah.
Good for Steph Curry. Good for golf.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
I got Holy Moly right. on ABC or Hulu. If you want to watch people, you know, get dunked into the water after after trying to hit a ball over an obstacle course.
We have one more little bit of NBA news in here to talk about. We got Dwight Howard going to the Lakers.
No relation to the university.
Yeah, no relation. This was a rather interesting move. I don't think this move shook the NBA, but I think it was still a relatively interesting one, yeah, in seeing Dwight Howard go to the Lakers. But it was I think it was a necessity that the Lakers needed to fill due to injury.
Yeah. The injury to DeMarcus Cousins was what shook the NBA. This is kind of the patchwork to try to repair that hole. I mean, it's mostly a story because his last tenure with the Lakers did not go so well. He famously did not get along with Kobe Bryant. And then the aftermath of that was kind of nasty. And then since then, he's kind of jumped from team to team. And none of his teammates seemed to like him. He tried out along with Joakim Noah. No word on what's going to happen to Joakim Noah. Apparently, Howard had to meet with Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee, and they were supposed to assess whether Howard was serious enough, whether like this edition of the Dwight Howard Redemption Tour is legit this time, and apparently they believe he is.
That particular part has been the best part of this, because that has been the like line in the sand for Twitter, where Twitter has just been like, all right, I'm done with the Lakers. When Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee are your mile markers for is somebody taking the game serious, I don't know if I can take you serious.
Yeah. Rajon Rondo he's a very, very smart cerebral player, but he's also not really going to take things seriously until the playoffs. But once you get to the playoffs, he's going to turn into an absolute megastar. But before then, you're going to have some issues. And JaVale McGee has a lot of documented issues. He's basically, a bit of a clown show, but he's also an NBA champion with the Warriors. So I think his image has rehabbed a little bit since then. But yeah, they were left in a situation where JaVale McGee is the only remaining center on the team, because Anthony Davis insists on playing power forward. So yeah, they needed to go out and get somebody else. And
Cass. JVZ, yeah. Hot take time.
Yes.
JVZ, oh, you first. Who's going to be the starting center for the Los Angeles Lakers? Starting center.
I mean, I think it still has to be Dwight Howard. The thing is, he's still been a productive player the last couple of years. It's just all of his teammates hate him, which is really, like, considering he is, like, he hasn't been, like, a super disruptive person. Like, you don't see him get into, like, JaVale McGee level antics on the court. So, like, a lot of the hate towards him is just, like, subtle hate due to his perceived lack of effort. And to get that reputation on so many different teams, like, you got to piss off a lot of teammates. And if you're subtly pissing off a lot of teammates, that's, like, indicative of a larger issue. But he's still productive, and that's why he still keeps getting opportunities on different teams. And so I think he has to start. Also, JaVale McGee can't play long minutes. I think we actually covered this before. Like, I think 538 ran some numbers saying that, like, JaVale McGee, if you play him for like 14 minutes a night, he's great. And then past that point, all bets are off. So, yeah, I think Dwight Howard needs to take those starter minutes, and JaVale McGee can supplement where necessary.
I kind of viewed it the other way around, where JaVale McGee kind of takes the start, but Dwight Howard still ends up playing more minutes per game. Where it's like, you know, JaVale McGee starts, he's out there for, you know, like the first 5-10 minutes, and maybe they swap him out or whatever. But I kind of feel like it is a thing where Dwight Howard is going to play more minutes per game, at least.
You know what? Now that you say that, I kind of, like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but, like, if you need to set a tone for the game, I think it's better to put out JaVale McGee than to put out Dwight Howard. And mm-hmm. then, you know, you let JaVale McGee set the tone, and then you let Dwight Howard come in and be productive.
Yeah.
All right. The NBA, or sorry, moving on to Major League Baseball, they've put out a memo warning players. I don't know how the term gas station sexual enhancement pills ended up in so many of these headlines, because I don't think it's actually part of the memo, but they basically warned. Warned.
It's a pill that's very often sold at gas stations and, like, corner stores.
Yeah. I mean, mostly they're talking about just over the counter sexual enhancement pills in general. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for some reason, you know, gas station, the idea that, you know, these are so over the counter that you can get them at a gas station or at a corner store. It's just unregulated sexual enhancement pills. They contain a lot of anabolic steroids and other prohibited substances. So a couple players have tested positive recently, and the suspensions for these are pretty long. They're like 80 games. So these players have taken these pills over the counter and tested positive in drug tests. And it's enough of a trend that the league has to come out and say, hey, stop buying these. Like, if you're going to take something like this, you know, talk to your doctor. Take a lot more responsibility about what you put into your body. You know, maybe get a prescription. You know, and for something that does not have any substances that are on the list of banned substances, the likelihood of contamination is higher when you're taking an unregulated substance. Versus, you know, something that is a little bit more controlled by a doctor.
So I will say I mentioned this at the top of the show, right? I've been going to the gym a lot more. and doing all this stuff with food, and now I've been looking at supplementation, and it's really, really hard, right? There's a lot of like, there's a lot of language you have to learn so that you know what things are like these synthetic enhancers as opposed to just natural supplements that you're missing in your diet, right?
Because hey, Cass,
because
Cass,
yeah,
Cass, I just got word from Curly, actually, Curly from Drunk Kids Gaming. You have been scheduled for a drug screening on Tuesday. Just got that in.
I would pass where I am right now because I haven't dipped into like anything more than what I know, right? So obviously just like protein, like, you know, the whey protein stuff, and even that is being contested as like, oh, well, whey protein is bad for you. You want the protein that has whatever the other supplement in milk is at an 80 whatever percent mix, or you want vegan protein because it doesn't have all these extra things in it. And, you know, and it's there's so much microscience that goes into these things that you have to be really, really careful when looking at these things. I mean, this is very obvious, glaring thing, right? Because this is some over the counter sexual male enhancement thing. But just in general, the amount of jargon that is out there for like, oh, yeah, this helps your performance in the gym because it's a steroid. But it's like it's a natural enhancer for your gym workout. And then you read it and you do a little bit of Google foo and you're like, oh, that's because this is fucking steroid.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you mentioned like there's a lot of science that goes into it, and yeah, or meth, because like there could be two sides. Like there could be a lot of science that goes into it, or just a lot of marketing. And you know, like there's a difference between things being FDA approved and being FDA cleared. Like that, you know, like that difference in terminology matters a whole lot about
yeah,
you know, how tightly it's regulated. You know, like I'm staring at a bottle of multivitamins in front of me, and you know, like everything I read about multivitamins is like, well, these things actually don't really help that much, or at all, really. So it's like, you know, but like they're part of, you know, kind of accepted pill culture. So
I was watching a video that the guy was going over all the supplementation stuff, and he was like, yeah, you know, get a multivitamin, but get a multivitamin that's for athletes. And my brain was like, yeah. But then my brain went, what's the difference? Like, yeah, like it's just supposed to supplement the vitamins you're missing in food. Why does an athlete need different vitamin, you know what I mean? Like this is supposed to be a nutritional thing, not a gym enhancement thing. So why does it matter if it's for athletes? You know, like all these weird marketing jargons that happen in this realm, you know, and but it's still funny that at the end of the day, it comes down to dudes were taking PP pills from a gas station yeah, that, you know, contain steroids.
Yep, and enough of them did it that they had to send out a warning, which, yeah, at least two. So, this is, you know, that, like every sport, they put out their list of, like, you cannot take anything on this list, but every like, year people still get caught, so.
I would be literally, and I think in this day and age, so scared to be an athlete and not have like literally a food scientist on my staff.
Yeah. Or just like, I'm not taking any pills, period. Like I'm going to eat fucking eggs for like, if I need protein, I'm going to eat eggs and yeah, drink milk. And that's
yeah,
it.
But then you have then, the problem of like you got to know where the fuck those eggs came from, because they could have come from some farm where they're pumping the chickens full of fucking fucking pee-pee pills, and then you're eating those eggs, and then you have that formula in your body. So then they're like, well, you're on steroids. And you're like, I've only eaten eggs.
I mean, the tainted food excuse only works for Mexican boxers. So
gotta find what TB12 is doing. That's it. That's the only answer. The only guy that has the answer is Brady. Tom Brady is the only one with the answer.
Yeah,
speaking of somebody else with a lot of bad information, but it seems to be working for him.
Yeah. All right. We can move away from the PP pills and on the worst things, I guess.
Yeah, let's actually, I mean, on that note, let's come back to this next story later, but let's move on to somebody who this is not working for, and that's Andrew Luck. Tom Brady, you know, the Colts and the Patriots have had this rivalry for a long time, but that started with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has since, like, he hasn't been on the Colts for like 10 years. They famously drafted Andrew Luck, and then Manning left, won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, then retired. The Colts have been rolling with Andrew Luck since then. Now Andrew Luck is retired suddenly. I guess maybe it's not so sudden. Like, he's had a lot of injuries the last couple of years.
I think it seemed sudden to the general population. But then when you dove a little bit deeper, you found out this history of battling injuries, misdiagnosed injuries, and just an overall kind of mistrust of the medical staff of the Colts.
Yeah, it's been, you know, not only that, but then like stuff with management saying, you know, that like he's going to be ready soon. He's going to be ready soon. And then, not. So then, you know, he has to take the blame for some of that. Both professional and physical mismanagement, with the Colts. Just the fact that the Colts have like a really, really, you know, for the long time had a really bad offensive line. So, you know, whenever Andrew Luck was healthy, he wasn't healthy for long. It's just, yeah, the last several years have been, I think he played all of last season, but you know, before then it was just, you know, injuries on and off. You know, he's missed a couple full seasons. It's, you know, and whenever he was healthy, he was amazing. 53-33 all time record with the team, 4 Pro Bowls in 7 years. And the years that he didn't make it, he just wasn't healthy. He's only 29. He was heading into the prime of his career, and you know, with guys like Brady saying that they're going to play until they're 45, and then like older quarterbacks, like it's weird thinking of Aaron Rodgers as an older quarterback now, but that's kind of where he is in his career. You know, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, they're getting older, but they are still like really, really, really good. They're still elite quarterbacks, at their elevated age. And
I think separating those three, right? Brady, Brees, and
Rodgers
kind of takes into the extent of what we just talked about, right? It's having the right people on your personal staff as opposed to just the team doctor, right? I don't see Andrew Luck as the type of guy to hire more than a personal trainer. I don't see him as the type of guy to hire his own physio, hire his own nutritionist, hire his own food scientist like Brady has done. I don't see him being that kind of guy. I think he probably has a personal trainer. Has kind of just the standard fare of what you would think for his own staffing for football purposes, but not anything outside of that. I see Brees being that kind of guy, Brady, obviously. And I think Rodgers to a certain extent is just a guy who understands the game a little bit and understands his health things going in and out of it. And I think he has gotten smart over the time in who he's played behind and who he got to watch before he stepped into those reins. But I definitely think we're getting to a place in sports where you have to kind of start taking in your own understanding of these things, take in your own physiology, your own science, and have people who have that in their brains at all time.
Yeah, DJM says Russell Wilson just goes to the lab to get reconstructed. and I would say the same thing about Kawhi Leonard. They just need their yearly Windows update and they're good to go. Kawhi Leonard's an example of a guy who, like, he did not agree with the way his team was managing his health. And mm-hmm. And then, you know, a change of scenery did him good there. LeBron James, I think, is a guy who I think people throw around the number that he spends $1 million a year on his own personal health. I think that's mostly paid off until now, because up until last season he had gone through his career without a major injury, or at least an injury that kept him out for several months, and then the one year it tanked his team's playoff chances. But before that he went to like 8 straight NBA finals. So he played more games than any other player did in that span of time, and still came out of it healthy every single year. So, we talk a lot about like what is and is not an investment in sports, and athlete bodies are certainly investments, so whether it's something like, hey, you should pay for non-coach flights for your WNBA players because not doing that takes a toll on their bodies. Teams need to invest as much money into players' bodies, because those are the most valuable things to them. And a guy like Andrew Luck, who retires, who is maybe the best quarterback prospect in a generation, and he was making good on that hype. But now he's retired before he even gets to his prime. Like, that's not good for the sport. And, so it sucks to see that in any sport. And it's just a reminder that, in a sport like football, like, careers can end just before when you least expect it. So the Colts are in a really tough position now. Like, Jacoby Brissett, he's been basically playing and practicing with the first team throughout the preseason. So, while Luck has been rehabbing from a calf injury, they're basically left in a situation where this guy that they were hoping was never going to have to take starter duties ever again is now the guy that they got a ride with going into the season. So I'm sure they'll be drafting a quarterback early in the draft again next year.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to see where the team goes from here, but especially because this is one of those things, right? You could send this kid out there and he can either do amazingly or he could do really badly, to the point that you have to restructure the trajectory of your whole season. So that to me is a little bit interesting. And then on the side of Andrew Luck, he's obviously going to get scooped up by Fox or ESPN or one of the big kind of networks to come sit behind a desk, and I think that'll definitely be a good place for him. I don't know his rhetoric behind a microphone, but I'm sure it's something he can work on, and it'll keep him close to the game if he still at least has that much of a passion for it. But
well, he's also,
has other things.
He's part of his retirement decision was just how much he's lost his love for the game of football. So
but sometimes that's playing. You know what I mean?
The injury rehab cycle, like that's taking a toll on him.
Yeah. But if he's totally lost that love, and then like DJM says, or he can start a farm where he fucking plays with rabbits. You know what I mean? Like the sky is the limit. Like, you know, I don't think this guy has a lot of things to worry about.
Yeah. Like if he played another 10 years, like maybe his body would completely give up on him after then, and he'd be in pain the entire time. Now, like, he doesn't have to get his body back into athlete shape. He just needs to get it into like normal person shape, and and so that's a little bit easier on him. And and who knows, like maybe, you know, he'll spend some time away we've seen it with NFL players before, like they maybe not with quarterbacks, but like, you know, they just can't handle that constant grind to try to get back into NFL shape. But then after a couple of years away from the game, heals.
We've seen a few.
Yeah. So after a couple of years away, they've been able to rest long enough. So now they get that itch to start playing again. And Andrew Luck is young enough that, like, if he took 2 years off, he'd come back when he's 32, which is definitely not too old for a quarterback. So, or he could just retire permanently. I guess the only reason why I pushed back so hard on him being an announcer is just there's only so many announcer positions to go around, and not every retired athlete can just like there isn't just a spot waiting for them. Quarterbacks and coaches.
ESPN makes it seem like there is.
Yeah, sometimes with some of the guys they throw out there, it's just not everybody can be Tony Romo, but maybe. Maybe DJM is just listing a bunch of shitty announcers in the chat. So like maybe you are right. Maybe there's always room for improvement there when it comes to announcing.
ESPN's cornerback corner with Andrew Luck, where he talks about quarterbacks.
You got hey guys, Andrew Luck here. I'm retired now, so can't really talk with Jack Doyle anymore. So we could talk about some quarterbacks.
Going to be awesome the keys for Russell winning this game this weekend?
No, that's it. The bit's done.
All right. Moving from Andrew Luck to someone else who has had some woes in the NFL.
Well, actually, while we're on a safety kick, let's cover this Packers Raiders game.
Lord! All right, let's cover some debauchery.
This preseason game between the Packers and Raiders was supposed to be played in Winnipeg, Canada. Blue Bombers.
Why it was being played in Winnipeg?
Outreach. Not that Canada doesn't already appreciate American style football. They have their own rules in the CFL, so it's a little bit different. But you know, it's when you talk about like countries that play American football, there's like two of them, and it's the U.S. and it's Canada, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are a CFL team. They've got a stadium. It's a regulation CFL stadium. So we're talking 110-yard field. That's a little bit different. Goalposts on the goal lines, that's a little bit different. Field's a little bit wider, all that. But, you know, now they got to repurpose that field for the NFL. They had to take those goalposts out of the end zone, or out of where they normally were for the CFL and move them back a little bit, because goalposts in the NFL are outside of the field of play.
Yeah.
So when they did that, it basically left these little potholes in the turf that weren't patched well enough. And so because of that, like that's like right in the middle of the normal NFL end zone, which is, you know, during play, like wide receivers run there, you know, it's like, you know, people run across these potholes. And so that's a safety issue when the very ground that you're standing on isn't reliable, that especially in the preseason where you definitely don't want injuries. You know, both teams decided like they were holding out some of their players anyways, that they weren't going to play. Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play. I'm sure Antonio Brown wasn't going to play. This is, you know, that basically both teams decided they weren't going to risk injury for their good players in this game. So that was before they realized like what was going on with the field. So that caused the league to kind of like, now you got to figure out what to do with the field. And what they ended up deciding was they were going to shorten the field, the playing field, to 80 yards and start both end zones at the 10 yard line. So now everybody who's watching this game is now has to re. I mean, yeah, DGM says it was a well thought out plan. And I think, like, given the circumstances, this is probably the best they could have done had they chosen, or like if they are intent on playing this game, this is probably the best you can do. Like, nobody has to run across these potholes anymore. You're still going to play a game that looks like football. But now everybody has to just mentally adjust to the fact that the field is a lot shorter than it used to be. No kickoffs anymore. They're just going to place the ball at the 15 yard line. And yeah, it was just like, this is a very weird game of football. I think, like, I saw some tweets going out about like Nathan Peterman accidentally throwing the ball into the old end zone, which now is out of bounds. So it was not just an adjustment process for the people watching, but an adjustment process for the players as well, that they're used to seeing lines on the field. And now the lines don't mean what they say they mean. It's just, yeah. And that also might just be Nathan Peterman sucking ass like he always does. So it's, you know, it was just a very confusing game, for everybody watching and for people playing. You know, they probably could have postponed the game because it was on a Thursday, and it's not like they had to, like, both teams didn't have games for another week, yeah. and on top of that, the Blue Bombers weren't coming home for another 9 days, so like they had time if they wanted to postpone this and maybe, you know, resod that area, hope it grows in a little bit more, like do a better job of patching those potholes.
I would figure the NFL has like fucking lawn scientist. I don't know why everyone is a scientist to me this week, but that's fucking some guy who know how to do this shit quickly and professionally.
You're going to throw around that much money in the sport, then like you should have a science for everything. That's, yeah. Like, I mean, we've got scientists for the balls that can determine whether they're, you know, like what level they have to be inflated and whether somebody, you know, cheated at inflating them or deflating them or not. Like, we got scientists for all the technology, all the replay, all that other stuff. It's, you know, I'm sure there's field scientists, you know, but then when you get to that level of science, you know, you get to really, really nitty gritty details. And, like, apparently they haven't found scientists that can tell you what a catch is, but you know, with the level of detail in the replay that they go through, like, you know, maybe they should. So
yeah. All right, let's talk about Antonio Brown.
All right, and this will probably, hopefully, be the last week that we we do that. His helmet thing is, you know, another thing that a lot of science goes into is helmets. He's kind of accepted the science on that at this point. He filed another grievance, but he's back on the practice field. He's practicing with his new helmet. So it looks like, you know, if those decisions go against him, he's going to just put his head down and play ball. But the story that we're talking about this week is the fact that he's being sued by a chef for $38,000 for an unpaid bill. Sometimes that happens. These guys throw around a lot of money. But the circumstances around why he did not pay this chef were a little bit interesting.
Okay.
So during Pro Bowl week last year, for 3 days, Brown hired Stefano Tedeschi to cook for him over the course of 3 days. So overnight, after the first day, everything kind of went off without a hitch. Tedeschi put a fish head in the freezer overnight to use in the next day's meal. I don't know, for like a soup or something. And yes. And then Antonio Brown found that in his fridge and thought that was a threat. So Brown fired him, kicked him out. Despite Tedeschi telling him that, like, no, like, I actually plan to use this to cook later. And no, this is not like a mafia threat where you find like a horse's head in your bed or something. Like, this is just food, and I'm cooking it tomorrow. Like, you know, he got kicked out. So he wants Antonio Brown to pay for the meal that, or at least pay for the one day that he spent there without a hitch. But no, that's not happening. And then that's not the only lawsuit that Antonio Brown is involved in right now. He's involved in a $7,000 lawsuit for unpaid therapy and training services. Another lawsuit, I'm not sure for how much, but for an incident where he threw furniture off an apartment balcony and nearly hit a toddler. This was back in April 2018. So, yeah, that's Antonio Brown in a nutshell. And hopefully...
That's, I don't even know how to tackle any of it. I don't even know how to tackle any of that.
Yeah. And so, like, a name that's come up a lot recently in all this Antonio Brown drama is Terrell Owens. And he's a guy where, like, if social media had existed at the time of Terrell Owens, people see Antonio Brown and they think of this as like somewhat unprecedented behavior. I'm not sure if Terrell Owens would have him beat. Like, this was a guy who, like, before social media existed, had a had news helicopters showing him doing sit-ups in his driveway. Yeah. He's a similar level of character. I don't think we ever had questions over whether he was going to retire over petty things like Antonio Brown did. He had a lot of complaints that you could kind of categorize as competitive complaints. A lot of his antics were centered around celebrations that kind of crossed the line into disrespectful. But, you know, nowadays the NFL has backed off on, you know, throwing flags for every little celebration. But, you know, a lot of those rules were established in response to Terrell Owens. It's an interesting comparison between the two. And Owens was a guy who jumped from team to team and, was productive on most of the teams that he played on, but eventually each team kind of got sick of his antics. So it's, you know, but throughout that career, he racked up the second most yards of any wide receiver in the history of the sport. But because of his antics, that was not enough to make him a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it's a double-edged sword. So who knows how people are going to perceive Antonio Brown when his career is over. But he's a very good wide receiver. And
I think it'll be less because there'll be less like TV style coverage of him as opposed to Terrell Owens, where there is like NFL level film on the antics of Terrell Owens. Like a lot of these things with Antonio Brown will kind of be blurbs that are forgotten, it seems like. And I think if as long as he is exceptional on the field, it, at the end of it all, it might weigh out, but I just don't think he has the profile in his antics that Terrell Owens did.
Yeah, and maybe just because we get this Antonio Brown news in fairly small doses, then and we get that in like blurbs over Twitter, and people are less inclined to, you know, tune into ESPN and watch First Take and watch somebody argue for 30 minutes about Antonio Brown because that's the only sports news out there. You can listen to shows like Sports Odds and Ends and just get these news in small chunks and then never have to deal with it again. Like you may never have to hear about Antonio Brown after this week, after we're done.
Unless one of us draft him in our fantasy football league.
Yes, but we're both smarter than that. But we're totally going to make fun of whoever does. So that's and also fantasy football has a way of rehabbing productive players. Like Josh, there's still so much hype around Josh Gordon. It's like I might draft Josh Gordon. Like that's, you know, he's still like a tremendously talented player. And, you know, despite him getting, you know, chance after chance and blowing chance after chance, just the idea of like I might have Josh Gordon on my fantasy football team, he's going to do so well for me.
Brady's throwing to him.
Tom Brady is throwing to him now. It's, you know, fantasy football has a way of like it doesn't really matter what this player does, what kind of antics this guy gets into, might just be worth the risk for my fantasy team. So that's Josh Gordon is the kind of player that can help Tom Brady play until he's 45 or more. So that's Antonio Brown is a better player than that. So that's why, you know, if there was some scrub on a team that was doing these kind of antics, like a team wouldn't put up with it. They would just cut him and not deal with him. But they deal with Antonio Brown because he's so good. So we'll see how good he is with the Raiders this year with a new team. You know, despite all of the other stuff that's going on, David Carr throwing to him. Derek Carr, not his brother, David. It's a new team, new era. Football season's about to start. So that's why we're seeing a lot more football stories.
Start buying those fantasy football magazines and maybe even tune into Sports Odds and Ends for some fantasy football tips.
I wouldn't trust us for any of those tips. We haven't done so.
They don't need to know that.
All right. Well, on that note, that's the end of the show. Head on over to sportsoddsandends.com for links to the show notes. Also links to iTunes, Google Play, where you can subscribe to our podcast. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, I'm at JVZ. Kaz is at King Kaz. DJM is at Call Me DJM. We have a Patreon now. So patreon.com/sportsoddsandends if you want to support the show financially. But if you don't, thanks for listening. As always, the show will always be free and appreciate. I actually took a look at the stats for the first time, and I was surprised at how many people actually do listen to this show. So thank you all for doing that. Thank you all for hitting us up on Twitter with your hot sports takes throughout the week, and for suggesting stories. It's been a fun 100 couple episodes, and it'll be another fun couple hundred more. So thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.